This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
A buddy of mine just sent me a great video. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. So this is old. I don't know how old. But all the snow stories that are happening around the country ramp back up.
It's the Super Bowl for the weather people.
So there's a weather lady kind of out in her jacket, or could be anybody, honestly. The news people go out there.
All hands on
people
deck.
That don't even work for the station go out there and wear the jacket and just talk for a couple days. It's everyone who's in any way affiliated with the TV stations is like standing in the snow.
Yep.
So she's interviewing this couple, and it's nasty out. 6:14 in the morning, it looks like. Maybe 6:14 at night. It's wet, it's cold, it's raining, it's snowing, there's ice everywhere. And there's this couple, and they're decked out in their running gear. And this woman is talking to this couple, and the girl goes, oh, this is the best time to run. It's super low impact. And she goes on this whole thing about how it's great to be a runner in this weather. No one's out here, and you get, you know, to do whatever you want to do on the street, and it's low impact. So as they take off, she's like, okay, thanks, guys. And then the camera just kind of pans and watches them run away. And she completely eats it.
Good.
On the ice.
Good.
I mean, in a way, though, not good. Like, could have busted her head open, like, falls back, hits her head on the ice. Looks awful. Macaulay Culkin looking up at the bad guys after he tripped on the marbles kind of situation.
I'm standing by it. Good. That's what you get.
Oh.
That's what you get. Did you trip on the ice or your condescension? What'd you trip on?
I think primarily the ice.
You trip on your high horse or the ice right there? Get out of here. I mean,
she completely eats it, and the guy turns around sliding to try to go back and grab her. And it's just on live television after telling us. She's grabbing her back. She's in intense pain.
This is the best time to go running. No, it's not. No, it's not. They literally tell you. There's like two kernels of truth in this entire thing. When they're standing out there telling you to stay inside, that's one of the things. Stay inside. Stay inside. It's unsafe.
Look, I know that the Ravens-49ers game was one of the most anticipated of the season. It might be, in the end, the best regular season matchup we have. It could very well be a Super Bowl preview. Nobody's saying Redskins-Panthers was a better football game. But that never used to matter. There was a time when the Redskins game was the number one viewed game in D.C. regardless, and other really good games.
And it wasn't long ago either.
Occasionally got decent numbers too. But the Redskins game would dwarf the other really good game if it was the Ravens and anybody else. Doesn't matter what else was on. If the Redskins were 2-11 and the Giants and the Cowboys were playing in Week 16 for the NFC East title, and they were both on in the market, a lot more people would watch the Redskins play the Texans at the end of the season than the Giants and the Cowboys. And those days are gone. Preliminary reports, early interest on this, people were digging, trying to find out. Looks like 40%+ more people watched the Ravens in D.C. than the Redskins. We're getting your thoughts on that.
You can go back to even years where you just go, yeah, well, the Redskins are bad, these other teams are good. If that's your argument, you don't understand the market that we're talking about. When I was a kid, half the televisions in Washington were on the Redskins, and the only reason it was half is because everyone was at somebody's house. Everybody watched every Sunday. It was a ghost town anywhere you went in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia areas. Now that's different. I mean, you go back to, say, 2011 when the Redskins were what were they, 5-11. You know, Green Bay played New Orleans, who was 13-3, I'm sure, or something like that. The Redskins would have outdrawn them 5-1. It wouldn't have been close if they're on at the same time. This is bigger than the Washington Post poll story. This is bigger than anything else. This is the number one thing about the state of the team right now.
I almost feel like at this point, though, we know already. You know, like, I don't know how many more data points we need. We could do this every week where we come out and we go, can you believe this? And we give you the latest numbers. This is multiple years of this. This is every single weekend, basically progressive, linear toward this moment. It doesn't change. So I almost feel like we're beating a dead horse. Like, we know people don't care that much about the Redskins anymore. They don't watch like they used to. But I promise you this, if they're good again, that'll change. If yesterday they're 9-2 and not 2-9, then that number's a 28 in D.C. It's not like it's gone forever. It's gone for now. Edward's in Bladensburg. What's up, Edward?
Edward, what's up, buddy?
Nothing much. How are you guys doing?
Good, man.
Good. So the ratings in this area do not surprise me. Here's why it does not really surprise me. I feel like a lot of the fans that were Redskins fans are still low-key Redskins fans. They're just not watching the game. They're not showing up to FedEx Field. Like you guys said a week or so ago, the fans that still are diehard Redskins fans will go to those games, season ticket holders or not, no matter what the price is. But the problem is we have two other competitive teams in this area that people want to watch over the Redskins. You're going to have people that are willing to pay.
Well, the Nationals. Oh, you mean D.C. Sorry, I thought you meant NFL
right.
teams.
Yeah, no.
Sorry.
Oh, no. D.C. teams.
Right.
So if you told me that the Capitals had a $100 ticket, okay, for a lower bowl, but the Redskins had a $40 ticket for a lower bowl, I'm still going to go to the Capitals because it's more competitive. They have a better chance of winning. Even if we lose, we were more competitive in that loss than watching the Redskins get blown out by a team like San Francisco in the rain.
Well, Edward, when you put it that way, I mean, look, who would rather at this point, if you're talking about coming from the same pot, you can either go to a Caps game or a Redskins game this winter. Who would rather go sit outside at FedEx Field in the cold to watch that team very likely lose? They've won once now in the last 11 home games over the span of about 400 days. Over go to Capital One Arena, where the atmosphere is amazing, where everyone's wearing a jersey, where you're inside in the air conditioning and the heat of a building, where everyone around you is thrilled to be there, and where the team's very likely going to win. And where you're seeing the best team in the sport, essentially, rather than whatever the Redskins are right now. Who would choose the Redskins over the Capitals? I think that's well said. Now, you're not necessarily debating between the Redskins and the Nationals this time of year, but you were in October.
That's right.
But where do you want to spend your money? To go see the Nats coming down the stretch as a wild card team in the regular season in September? Or a playoff game in October?
I mean, I made that very choice, by the way. I went to the Nationals game, got to take my kid, one of his friends, and I DVR'd the Redskins game. I mean, I did that.
Let's go to Pete in Arlington. Hey, Pete.
Hey, hi. Good afternoon, guys.
What's up, buddy?
Viewer numbers don't surprise me at all either. I got to watch most of the Ravens 49ers game on TV. It was old school football. It had everything. It had great quarterbacks. It had crazy fans in the rain. But I wanted to add this. I also watched. I watched a little bit of the Skins game too. But I got to watch both those games over the air with my, you know, with my old school antenna. I mean, they're not rabbit ears anymore like they were when I was a kid. But we cut the cable this year, and no sports fee went from us to Dan Snyder. Now, that might just be a drop in the bucket, but that's one of the reasons that we dropped cable is there was a fee every month that went to Dan Snyder, and I've had enough of him, and I don't begrudge the Redskins, the Skins. I call them Snyder Skins, but I don't begrudge them winning against, I mean, they've beat three teams that have got 11-24-1 records. So, you know, good for them. NFC's a mess. But NFC East. But, man, it was great football yesterday. That Ravens 49ers game went right down to the end. It was a beautiful game.
Yeah, I wish I was watching it. Instead, your boy was glued to Redskins Panthers. And I am thrilled that they won. But to your point, you know, you mentioned the record of the three teams they've beaten. The Dolphins, bad. The Lions, bad. And the Panthers, I think they're a little better than that. They certainly played bad yesterday, so give the Redskins some credit. But there were two backup quarterbacks in there. And in the Dolphins'
win, whatever you see with the Dolphins, yeah.
Their backup quarterback at the time was Ryan Fitzpatrick, who came into the game. So all three of those games, you've played a number two quarterback in your three wins. Not to mention, the Dolphins' game came down to a two-point conversion. They elect to kick an extra point. You go to overtime, you may lose that. Yesterday, the Panthers just about took that game back from you as well. Let's go to Chris in Hyattsville on G&D. What's up, dude?
What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. So in a former life, I actually used to sell television in Baltimore. And, you know, I think what we're forgetting is that this current state is actually the rule and not the exception. The Skins heyday, we all know, was in the 80s from about, I don't know, 80 to 92. Well, there was no franchise in Baltimore. But prior to that, the Baltimore franchise was much more successful than the Washington franchise, the Baltimore Colts, and they had much more national presence, and they had a rabid fan base. So there was a window there where we became accustomed to the Redskins dominating locally. But in the history of the franchise, the Redskins have been a bad team much more than they've been a good team.
All true, yeah.
And the fact that they've been bleeding viewers to Baltimore makes total sense now that there is a high-quality franchise in Baltimore. I don't think that – I think the Redskins exploited the greater fan base because of the Colts' absence, and that's why we became accustomed to them dominating local ratings and just the general conversation, or even getting fans as far out as, Maryland, Annapolis, and Southern Maryland. But
well, Chris, don't forget, too, they were unbelievable. I mean, there was a time where they were the Patriots.
For, yeah, for 12 years, it's 49ers 1, Redskins 2 probably for that duration.
49ers, Redskins, Cowboys it for is, a span of like 18 years ran the conference.
And it is a good point that it coincided with where there's no team to compete with them in Baltimore. Right. So the fan base expands. There's no Carolina team, by the way. I have friends from North Carolina who grew up as Redskins fans because there was no Panthers.
Do you see any of the videos of the Redskins party down there this weekend?
Yeah.
I mean, Larry Michael run, like, team-sanctioned party that they have.
All right.
It was huge. I mean, there were thousands of fans that showed up.
Mm-hmm.
I remember all the years going to that game on the beat when they were actually more competitive earlier in the season. And it was the best-attended road game every single year because you're right. Up and down Carolina, you've got Redskins fans who loved the team before the Panthers came. But the geography in the NFL has changed with Carolina, Baltimore, among some other teams. And the fact that Baltimore is really good right now, it's easy to pull for them. I don't think because you're close in proximity, that has a lot to do with it, honestly. It could almost be like the Texans if Lamar Jackson was doing what he's doing for them and they were that good. Like, my brother is randomly like in on the Ravens right now. I think it's the fun, cool thing to do. I don't think it's because they're an hour and a half or 2 hours away because he hasn't gone to a game. He doesn't plan on going to a game. He doesn't rep or claim Baltimore in any way. 800-636-1067 is the number. Sounds like the Redskins almost got doubled up by the Ravens in local ratings.
It's time for you to get your act together. That's right. Grant Danny here for our friends at EMP.
Sounds like you're talking directly to me after Thanksgiving.
Well, I got a little
it's
that myself.
A tough couple weeks for your guy. It's time to get back on the train full time here.
It's the Why Wait Special. It's the Why Wait Special from EMP 180 Weight Loss. Here's what it means. You get 6 weeks or more from EMP 180, you get a bonus week for free. Let them help you the way they've helped me, the way they've helped Grant, the way they've helped Gramps Brothers, the way they've helped thousands of our listeners over the years to expand to a bunch of locations. There's a reason it works. These guys are awesome. Let EMP 180 Weight Loss help you.
Becoming healthier through weight loss is 82% about nutrition. So lose the weight in 2019 and hit the gym in 2020. Everyone's talking about, oh, I'll start in the new year. No. Get in a good routine now. Teach yourself how and what you should and shouldn't be eating, and then it's going to be so much easier to get to the gym after the first. I did my program. Started in December, right before the holidays. Right around now, actually, I showed up a few years ago at EMP 180 before I lost my weight. And I thought at the time, this is a terrible idea. Holiday parties are coming up. It was the best thing I ever did. Visit EMP180.com or call 855-888-0180. 855-888-0180.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Next up for the hottest team in the NFC East, the Green Bay Packers. They might be the pavement. The Redskins continue to steamroll here. It's a victory Monday. Nobody's at the park today. They got the day off. Bill Callahan telling the guys, Don't you worry about coming in for work.
Get in for treatment. Get your ankle taped. Get your ice. Get your stim. Get your heat. Whatever. But don't you have to? You don't have to do anything today.
Maybe I'm just a jerk. And that's quite possible. I'm just out on Bill Callahan philosophically, so everything else starts there. I love videos, and in this case, what with us being radio, the audio clip you're about to hear, taken from a video off the Redskins' Twitter, of coaches addressing their team after big wins. I watch Bill Callahan address the Redskins, and I'm thinking, this is not exciting or cool or fun.
It feels like my library book's overdue, and he's letting me know.
Right. Like, if I'm a young player, this is not a guy I'm ready to go run through a wall for. Now, they won 29-21, so you give him credit for that, and they did it his way. They ran all over the Panthers. He led a college program at one point. Remember, he ran Nebraska's program. You'd think he can relate to young people. He's got kids. He's got, I know, at least a daughter our age. I'm not really sure about his entire family structure or how many kids he's got. I know he's got people our age. I think he can relate to young people pretty well. I just get a sense of, like, somebody's dad who comes out to talk to you after you're, like, playing basketball in his front yard, and you're like, I'm good on this conversation. Maybe it'll end soon. There's nothing particularly interesting. And here he was. Now, think about, like, Sean McVay and some of the guys the last couple years you see these videos for, where you go, man, I wish I played for that guy. This was Bill Callahan yesterday.
14 down on the road. This franchise hasn't won here since 1998. I commend everybody across the board, every unit across the board, played at the highest level. I couldn't be more proud of our team today. Wow, what resilience, what grit. You dug deep when we had to dig, and then the running game. Two rushers over 100 yards. Defense will hold the league rusher to 44 yards. Great job. I can't say enough about our special teams. Great in field position. Tress Wayne, man. Oh, God. Great job. Well deserved. Enjoy this win. It's a great win. It's a great win. And I think I know what time it is.
Yes, sir. Yes. Wednesday.
Victory Monday.
Yeah! I mean, look, they're eating out of his palm. So, again, maybe I'm cynical. Maybe I'm a jerk. There's just nothing there where I go, that's a leader of men, dude, that you want to go play for. It's a lot of just like, I'm proud of you guys. We won the game. Am I just working back from a this guy's a dinosaur thought?
Yes, but doesn't mean you're wrong. I am too. Like, I know that.
When you hear that, do you hear what I hear?
Yeah. I hear a guy that shouldn't be the head coach of this team.
You do?
Yeah.
See, and I think that's, it almost sounds mean when you say it.
It is mean. It's unfair. But yeah. He didn't do anything wrong. I don't blame him for being him. I know what Bill Callahan is. I need people not to be under the delusion that he's something else. He's a good interim head coach. He's an adult. He's going to make guys work hard. He's going to be accountable. He'll add a fullback to the roster. He'll put Cam Sims back on the practice squad for the 88th time. I know what I'm getting into, but there's a reason this is not a hot head coaching candidate. There's a reason that people aren't knocking down his door like they are trying to interview Eric Bieniemy or any of the other guys. There's no Bill Callahan linked to Cowboys. There is a rumor for Lincoln Riley linked to the Cowboys. You know what I mean? There's a reason for that. It's okay. It's not necessarily criticism to say you probably should be one of the guys that has one of the 32 jobs on this planet, right? That's a high threshold. That's not exciting. I'm sorry. I like Bill Callahan perfectly fine. Probably a pretty good offensive line coach. I don't know if he's good, bad, or indifferent in that capacity. Honestly, I couldn't tell you. I know this. There's nothing about that, what I just heard, nothing about that game yesterday that says.
I think I just go in super biased.
Yeah, and I am.
But I
am
watch that
biased.
And I go,
am.
Not for me. Thanks. Maybe, you know, it's certainly not fair to Bill Callahan because I'm looking for something that just isn't him, obviously. I'm looking for some young, inspiring guy that comes off like a dude I'd want to hang out with. I don't know how many Redskins want to hang out with Bill Callahan. I don't need them to. I need them to respect him, and maybe they do. It certainly seems like they do, but, man, I just wish there was a clip that came out where you go. And I don't know that Jay Gruden was that guy either, by the way. I mean, he was certainly younger and hipper, so to speak, but that's just a lot of, I'm proud of you guys. We ran the ball today. We came back from down 14 today. Just, I hope the next head coach has a better version of whatever that is.
Like, I feel like that, like Kermit the Frog could have given that speech. You know what I mean? Like, that's the sound of it. It's like, congratulations, guys. Yay. You know, like, I'm not inspired. I'm not. I'm sorry.
I also know that what we're saying is unfair and we're jerks, right?
But here's what I'm saying. I don't think it is unfair.
It is. I think it is. I'm ready to rule it unfair. Because, again, all he's doing is coaching the football team successfully, by the way, that day.
Yeah. It's.
They executed his plan.
It's totally fair to say, is that the guy you want for the future? Is that exciting to you? These are things that
not
are accessible to the public.
To me.
I have an opinion about Bill Callahan.
Players loved it when he said Victory Monday. That excited them.
They got really excited about that. It means they don't have to go to work.
If you go back about a week ago or so, I told you I got a DC camera ticket. Do you remember that?
Yes, of course.
Okay. It was probably around the same day you broke your rib and didn't know you broke your rib.
Yes.
Around that time.
Monday of that week. We both had traumatic events.
So I'm going somewhere with this real quick, even though I'm changing gears on you.
Okay.
So I tweeted, DC camera tickets are such a joke. 52 and a 40 on a three-lane highway without a person in sight. I'm assuming it's 40 because of construction. It wasn't even happening after hours. $200 right now, $400 if I don't pay right away, basically. It's normally a 55, I think, that street.
Mm-hmm.
295, whatever it is. And this thing, apparently, I've got a bunch of people hit me up. $26 million worth of tickets have been racked up.
Yeah, that's the number one. It used to be the one on K Street approaching Whitehurst Freeway / Rock Creek Parkway. Was the number one. I think that's the new number one camera in D.C.
Just it's ridiculous.
It's awful.
Fraudulent, right? So, of course, I tweet this out, and I don't think anything of it. I'm just venting, so to speak.
But here come the people.
And there are hundreds of people who have basically taken the side of the camera. You're speeding. You're an idiot. You're breaking the law, whatever. That's fine. You're allowed to have that opinion. But still, I tweeted this on November 26th. So that is a week ago now.
Mm-hmm.
Legitimately, like 6 days ago. I'm still getting blown up with responses. Like, I'm like 300 responses to this tweet. So apparently, I think like someone from NPR did like a story on it.
No.
I think so. Like, entitlement. I have no idea like exactly how it happened.
A story of entitlement.
So, someone like said that someone at NPR like pushed, I don't know if it was just a tweet from them or if they talked about it on air or how it happened. But I was wondering, like, all weekend, I'm still getting all these like, you're an idiot. Okay, boomer. Like all these terrible takes.
That okay boomered you?
I got a lot of okay boomers.
Oh, ridiculous.
So I'm getting so many tweets, and still, the reason I brought this up is just during the last 10 minutes, another flood of them, where something happens where like three or four people will be very upset. They're all angry at me. They all think, so you just sound like an awful driver. There's a lot of that. But it, still, 6 days later, it's just these, it's like waves, it's pockets.
It is.
I'll go a day with nothing, and then 19 people will somehow tweet about it.
Well, so do you remember that, it's the last time I'll ever take a stand on anything, but do you remember that whole...
Oh, this was a bad idea by you.
100%.
And vote 77, you advocated for something you wanted voted for.
Right, so what it was is under the guise of, we want a living working wage for people in the restaurant industry. And that sounds very noble and very good. Well, if you dug any... level at all, you found out that the people in the industry did not want it.
Yeah.
It was to limit tipping and a whole bunch of other things. So that's where I was coming from. The people that I knew that worked as bartenders, as servers, as restaurant owners and employees, they thought it was a bad idea and it was misguided. I said as much. It would come in waves like you're talking about, right? Where I was like, I'm trying to support my friends. Guys like my friends that run Saltline, ran Town Hall and Chef Jeff's and a bunch of places that were very adamant they didn't want this. I said, hey, I'll support you guys. I'll help you with a tweet. And it would keep coming up for weeks and weeks. And like various places, it would sort of regain traction because some jackass found it and he would respond and then all of his minions would respond. It was the biggest pain in the butt ever. And it just kept resurfacing. So I don't know what you do about it because it's easy to get sucked back in and start debating it over and over and over again. It's exhausting.
No, I never have tweeted about it again. I mean, you couldn't pay me enough to respond to any of these people. It's just hilarious. They keep coming, but I'm going, what on earth happened all weekend? This had a new life, and I don't know exactly what happened, but some kind of people heard about it, and they're in. They're all in on this now. Just funny what moves the needle for people, what gets them animated. Grant and Danny on the Fan on this Victory Monday, the Redskins in the win column. What does this do for Bruce Allen's future? We haven't talked about Dwayne Haskins yet. Looked better yesterday. We'll do that next on G&D. Taking care of some business. They have a deadline that they're trying to work around to get deals done to avoid arbitration. And they were able to do that with Wilmer Defoe and Hunter Strickland on a couple of one-year contracts for 2020. You know, both of those guys are going to ideally not have huge roles for the team next year. Defoe is a utility option, a bench player in case something goes wrong in the infield. Hunter Strickland's more intriguing to me. He's got great stuff and has been very successful in the past. If you have him pitching in the sixth or seventh inning in middle relief and you have three or four better relievers than him, he could end up being helpful in this bullpen, though.
So he was always going to come back. I think some people are treating this as a re-signing or something. He's arbitration eligible, has another year or two maybe of arbitration years. Yeah. So this is a, you avoid the arbitration process, which is not fun for anybody, by the way. Just if people don't know, the player and his side have to argue why he deserves money, and the team has to argue against him. It's not very productive. It's not a lot of fun. People like to avoid it if they can.
You ready for tonight? It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to the World Series documentary premiere at the Anthem in Washington, D.C., downtown at the Wharf. Bunch of Nats fans are going to be there. There's a red carpet event that Ryan Zimmerman, Mike Rizzo, Mark Lerner, and some others will be walking to get into the venue tonight. You and I are going to be broadcasting live on The Fan after 6 o'clock, doing some interviews on the red carpet. I've yet to really be told what we should be wearing or anything like that. Your boy's probably going to throw on a sports jacket, and it sounds like you're going full suit.
That's my plan as of now, unless somebody tells me specifically what to do. When I hear red carpet, it's everybody's looking,
so yeah,
and I just kind of think,
those
you know.
Two words scare people into doing all kinds of things with weird dressing. I talked to one person with the Nationals who said they were wearing a sports jacket at Max, and I was like, okay, I'll do that. And that was kind of my thought. But
it's a
I'm
good
assuming
thought.
That the people you and I are interviewing are going to be really well-dressed.
And I'm kind of going, I don't want them saying, well, look at that schlub who's shuffling around here.
They're probably going to be saying that about me regardless because, it's like I said, it's been a bad couple of weeks for me on the old EMP program.
Sure, let's tighten it up, though, with a suit.
It's possible. I'll consider it. I just, if I could avoid wearing a suit all night long.
You can go suit, no tie.
I'd like to do that.
Shows that you're above the event, but you dressed up.
I'm not above the event.
But I'm saying if you don't wear a tie, it's like, I should be here. That's what it says.
I want to be at the event desperately.
Yeah, I'm there.
I'm excited to watch the documentary, to hear your voice, my voice, Junkie's voices, Chad's voice.
That's pretty neat.
Pretty good.
We got sent, CK got sent, like, I guess, a little couple clips of production that are part of it. Not the entire documentary, but a couple clips where we're, I don't say featured, but you can hear us. It's wild just to think that that's going to be the case and something that's going to be timeless.
Paul's in Fredericksburg wants to hop in on something we were just talking about. What's up, Paul?
How you doing, Mr. Afternoon, Grant?
What's up, man?
Hey, you were talking a few minutes ago about the speed cameras on 295 and how much the city of D.C. has made off of those. It was Seven on Your Side did a special on that 2 weeks ago, November 18th and 19th. It was a two-part special on that. I saw the Monday night portion. It wasn't a whole heck of a lot. And then the Tuesday, they were on with the mayor. I did not see that, but I heard from their intros to it that it was supposed to be a pretty heated discussion with the mayor on the legality of those speed cameras and the just how they're posted and such. So
yeah, a lot of people have been doing stories and talking about it. I mean, it's bottom line is if your stance is as simple as you're speeding, pay the fine. Okay, cool. I don't have much to argue with that. That's probably true. I am a believer in some context. And here's my context. Going a very reasonable speed on a 3-lane highway.
Sure.
Going 52 miles an hour. It's normally 55, by the way. Going 52 miles an hour. There's not another car in sight. It's after hours, and because of this has been dropped down to a 40 zone. Didn't realize that. Please accept my apology. But at the same time, there's no one on this road. It's 3 lanes. It's a highway. I'm supposed to be going 44 miles an hour now? Okay. If you want to pull me over, you're a cop, and you're sitting there, and you want to grind and work hard and pull me over and tell
me. You got me.
You're going 12 over, dude. I know you're all by yourself. To me, the question is, am I putting anybody in jeopardy? Is anything unsafe happening here? I happen to believe, more often than not, with speeding tickets, pulling someone over, having the flashing lights on the side of the road, having people change lanes, all that crap, is less safe than going 11 miles an hour or 5 miles an hour or whatever it is over the limit. But regardless, if you want to pull me over, give me a ticket, your job, your prerogative, you're keeping the road safe, good for you, no problem. I'll pay the stupid ticket. I don't need a camera telling me, because I'm going 12 over in a zone that shouldn't be that low, and I think it's that low, by the way, for the middle of the day with construction, which isn't happening right now, that I got to now pay money. And by the way, the money is a big part of this. You want to fine me $25, make it 50 if you don't pay right away? Cool. 50 to make it 100? I don't love that, but I'll do it. 200 right off the bat?
Mm-hmm.
400 if in a few weeks if I don't pay? Get out of here.
Have you ever had to go to court over any kind of moving violation?
I don't think I ever have. I've just
you never
have.
But you're familiar with the process, sure, right? Sure. Sometimes they say you got to go to court. And have you ever heard of somebody saying, I went to court and the officer didn't show up, so I got off? You know why you get off? We got a little thing called the Bill of Rights, my friend. Now you're asking me to get into something. There are these series of amendments that are pretty important to the Constitution. The sixth one, often overlooked, but the sixth one says you got the right to face your accuser. Let's say you went to court over that moving violation. Who's your accuser?
The camera.
Is the camera going to testify? Is the camera going to answer any questions? Can you cross-examine with your attorney, with your counsel? Are you going to bring in the tech that installed it? Are you going to bring in the local police force that authorized this thing? Are you going to bring the mayor there? You can't. You can't face your accuser. Pretty fundamental thing for our democracy. Just a thought.
Yeah.
Just a thought.
Well, that's one of the things that people will say.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even going that deep into it. I want the fines to be lowered. I think they're ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And I want common sense used. If you're doing a 40-mile-an-hour zone for construction, I don't need it to be 40 miles an hour or I get a ticket for going 50 at 11 at night all by myself on a three-lane highway. People refuse to just speak in common sense, mm-hmm. practical terms. You went 12 over. Nothing else. Period. End of sentence. Full stop. You're an idiot. Okay, boomer. Whatever else they're yelling. Should we all have to go 44 miles an hour on a three-lane open highway? Should we be doing that? Or is it okay to go 50 all by myself in my little car trying to get home that night? Is that okay? I bet you it's okay.
Bet you it's fine.
Bet you everyone's going to be okay. You're putting people in jeopardy. I promise I wasn't. I promise no one was in jeopardy by my 50 miles an hour. Promise. But yeah, from a legality standpoint.
Sure. It's under the guise of safety, and you can do a lot of things. Dan Snyder charged safety and security fees after 9/11, right? Oh, it's for safety. Nah, it wasn't. It was, you got a chance to make money.
Remember that. That was a thing?
Oh, it was absolutely a thing. This is and it was one of the things that bothered people, right? That just he added in safety and security fee as a way to charge money and make more money off people. So the season tickets, they'd say, we haven't increased season ticket prices at all. The cost of the tickets stayed the same, but they added in different fees and processing things as a way to skirt that. This is a money-making scheme for local governments. That's what this is. Now, if you told me that, I would feel a little bit better about what you're doing. It's revenue. We need the money that comes in from these things. It helps us with snow removal and to keep a couple people employed. I would feel better about that than the lie. It's the lying that bothers me.
That's the one.
Don't tell me that it's something else. I know what it is.
I didn't get your thoughts on Dwayne Haskins yet, so we'll do that. If you guys have a thought on Haskins yesterday compared to before that, 800-636-1067. What kind of progress did you see? G&D on the Fan. Stretch run of Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan with you until 2 today. We appreciate you listening as always. If you missed any part of our show, no problem. Now you can rewind up to 24 hours with Radio.com Rewind. Download the app on Radio.com. Select our station. You can go back in time. Listen to any part of the show today, yesterday, what have you. 24-hour Rewind is a really, really cool function.
It's neat.
Haven't checked it out yet. Of course, all of our podcasts available at thefandc.com. Michael's in Fredericksburg on G&D, wants to talk about the Skins and Dwayne Haskins yesterday. Michael, what'd you make of the win?
Hey, it's a wasted win. We won a meaningless game in the middle of a meaningless season where we switched regimes. We're wasting 20% of Dwayne's control under a rookie contract to have him hand the ball off 8,000 times to an over-the-hill Adrian Peterson and Darius Geis. We aren't seeing any development of him in learning how to throw people open, on how to read defenses, on how to check off safeties. I heard Chris Thompson this morning talking about, he was able to switch coverages and he's getting them out of the huddle and all the kind of stuff that he should be able to do by week 2 or week 3. and we're doing backflips over that and a meaningless win. And the reality is we need to look back and say, okay, this has been a completely wasted season. We're not using it to our advantage of getting him any real game experience at all. And going into next year, it's going to be like his rookie year all over again, because he's going to learn a whole new system and start his developmental process over all over again.
So, Mike, I get some of what you're saying. I would like to ask more of him and have him basically kind of throw him into the deep end.
Yeah.
And have him sink or swim and learn to swim, because you got to grab onto something and stay afloat. But today, for me, isn't necessarily the day to have that discussion, because I thought this was the best that he was at any point so far this season. I thought the athleticism was on display. The play extension was really, really sharp and good. Thought if he got a little help from Jeremy Sprinkle and Terry McLaurin on some well-thrown balls, the numbers would have looked a little bit better than even they did. I'm not going to throw a party. He didn't complete 15 passes.
Yeah, nobody's doing that.
Didn't have 150 yards. He was essentially yesterday, I thought, league average. It's the first time I've thought he was an NFL league average starting quarterback. So it's progress. Now you say, well, they're not really having him take steps forward. I think that they are. It's glacial pace. It's baby steps. But I thought that was the best we've seen Dwayne Haskins. Would I prefer to throw the football more, run the football less, put him in some situations where he's got to go out there and sling it around? Of course.
But yeah, I'm 100% with that part of it.
That's not going to happen. I'm realistic here. That's not the plan. That's not who this head coach is. That's not what this offense is. It's not what they think they have the weapons to do. So if you can file that away and say, this is what you're going to get, let's look good with your 25 passes and let's be sharper and get through reads and not turn the ball over, I think you got a lot of that.
You did. And again, it's all context, right? If somebody, you know, if somebody's, I don't know, 25 years old but has never read before and is learning how to read, yeah, they should already know how to read. But here we are. We're talking about this, right? We're talking about his growth. We're not talking about comparing him to somebody else. Would I've liked to see more than you're seeing from guys like Daniel Jones or Gardner Minshew or, I don't know, a guy like Kyle Allen who doesn't have that much experience. Would I like to see more? Of course I would.
How about Drew Lock yesterday?
Yeah. Just
kind of as a second-round pick. Came out. Now, he wasn't great by any means.
He had his share of mistakes, too, but yeah.
Absolutely, but I saw more in the first half of that game than I'd seen at any point before yesterday with Dwayne Haskins.
And that's kind of the point. So for me, the arrow is trending up for Haskins. The argument shouldn't be about which way the arrow is trending. The argument should be, where does the arrow end? How far do we get to go? Right? And I still think there's a pretty good toolkit worth investing in, and I think a lot of fans do also. So is it exciting that he's playing better than he was when he came in against the Giants? I'm not throwing a parade. I'm not doing spin kicks. But I'm also acknowledging, hey, we're trending in the right direction here. And yeah, the progress is glacial. Yeah, the progress is slow. I would like to see him tasked with more. But I'm seeing growth, and I like that. It's better than the alternative.
Yeah, we've talked about this a lot, but the bar is so low. That
it is.
He keeps leaping over it, which is good. At some point, we got to raise the bar.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, let's just be better than a week ago.
Yep.
Let's just be consistently able to get through reads and make throws and be accurate. A week ago against the Lions, I thought he was bad. They won anyway. In that game, he wasn't on the field to take the knee at the end of the game, and that became the story, and it really overshadowed, which was, I thought, one of the most inaccurate quarterback performances I've seen in years. Nobody really talked about that. Grant and Danny, thanking you for listening, as always, to The Fan. Chris Russell is up next for Chad Dukes versus the World. We're back at it tomorrow at 10 a.m. with hopefully many cool stories about tonight's documentary unveiling over at the Anthem for the Nationals World Series.
Yeah, catch us tonight, 6 to 7. We're doing a live red carpet show. BD Paulson and BD Rune over here. And now, our watch is in.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.